It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels, and we're very pleased to be joined by Connor Oberst. Connor, welcome to KCSN.
Thank you, Skies. I'm very happy to be here.
It's an exciting time, I'm sure, as you get closer and closer to the actual release date of Upside Down Mountain. In listening to the album and reading a few things that you have said and others have said about it, it seems that the album had a certain theme of exploration and in a sense, what I'm hearing in the songs is coming to grips with life on life's terms. I don't want to use the term maturity because none of us want to feel like we've really matured, have we? But
sure.
What were you searching for, and do you feel that some of that at least is what the goal of the album was for you?
I think that's true. I mean, the songs were written over a pretty long period of time by my standards, so I think that there's sort of a lot of ground covered idea-wise or emotionally or whatever, but, you know, yeah, it is that sense of being maybe content in your own skin or finding sort of, you know, the idea of we're all sort of alone on our own little mountaintops and like finding sort of, you know, acceptance of that like inherent natural solitude that is like the human condition. And then all so much of what life is to sort of find those moments of connection that sort of lessen that alone feeling, you know. And that's, I don't know, I guess if there was a theme, it would be something along those lines.
Well, and you mentioned contentment, but in knowing you, I would assume that contentment, but not complacent. Would that be a fair and apt description?
For sure. And I mean, you know, contentment, like anything, any sort of emotional state, I think is also, we have to recognize that it's temporary, you know, because that's another sort of, you know, essential fact of existence, you know, which is that all these things that we feel pass through us, you know, that kind of that Buddhist attitude, I suppose, which is something that took me forever to learn. You know, like in the English language, a lot of times we get it wrong because we say I'm hungry, you know, but in a lot of other languages, it like grammatically, it's like I'm with hunger, you know, which is when you apply that to like any emotional state, that's, I think, a really great life lesson to learn, because it means, you know, you can deal with things a lot better. It's like this is, you know, this is going to pass. And, you know, on, I guess the flip side of that is also wonderful, joyous, happy moments are also going to pass, you know. But I think that that's just sort of a fact of life. And once you can kind of come to terms with it, I think it makes things easier, you know.
What a thing to be a witness to the sunshine. What a dream to just be walking on the ground. What a time to live among the ashen remnants of a love came before.
There was a life event. You got married.
Yes,
and
I did.
I hope that some of the joy and contentment, you know, is derived from that experience of really, you know, finding a life partner. Is that part of the song's themes?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's been like 3 years now since we got married, but it's, you know, that's kind of, a lot of the songs were the beginnings of the record I was writing kind of right around that time. And yeah, you know, it's been awesome. You know, I think of it as just an excuse to like hang out with my best friend all the time, you know, and it's been cool. You know, it's, I think it's different for everyone, you know, and so much of the world places so much importance on these sort of things. But really, like, I realized kind of after the fact, I was like, wow, it does, you know, because you think like, oh, it's not going to change anything. I've been with this person a while, but it really does sort of like shift your mind in a weird way, and it in a great way, you know. It just feels like, you know, just you got someone looking out for you all the time.
Right, there's a sense of commitment. Now, as you were talking, boy, I think I might have asked this question in the past, but I don't know if I ever have. When it comes to a situation like that where you are finding peace and happiness and contentment in that relationship, are you conscious, a little conscientious even, about purely writing a song directly to your significant other, you know, is that something that comes easily to you, or is that something that you're a little sensitive about? Well, I don't want to make this too literal. I.e., you're writing like a love letter in song.
Sure, sure. I've never really, I mean, honestly, I've never really done that. Like, you know, there's elements of relationships, of my personal relationships that do enter into songs, but very rarely is it like me trying to convey like a direct experience from my life, or, you know, a lot of the characters in my songs are kind of amalgamations of different people I know, and you know, it's like these sort of character sketches, and you have to, I think if you want to be a good writer, you have to be able, you have to observe everything you can as it's happening, and then you also have to be willing to, you know, take that poetic license and you know, mix up different characters, because to me it's all about, I'm not, you know, when I'm writing a song, I'm not writing like a memoir or something, and you know, I'm not, like a lot of people like to use like the word like confessional songwriting, which I don't like buy into at all, because I'm truly not trying to express my experience directly like as it happened. It's more about getting to sort of some sort of universal truth that can stand, that can, I mean, I think the best songs have to exist outside of the persona of the singer, you know, and that's hard to do, because I think, and I'm guilty of it a lot as well, but I think a lot of songwriters, they kind of lean on their personas sometimes to like, you know, sort of justify what they're saying or whatever. But I think I like songs with like ideas that you can walk away with, and sort of they can exist even outside of the enjoyment of the melody or the beat or whatever, you know, they're just like more ideas.
Polished my shoes, I bought a brand new hat, moved to a town that time forgot, where I don't have to shave or be approachable. No, I can't do just what I want.
You had a friend of KCSN's, an ally in making this record, because you got Jonathan Wilson to work with you and joined you in the production of this album.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I've heard the story from Jonathan, but I want to hear it from you. How did you decide upon and come together with Jonathan, and how was that experience in recording the Upside Down Mountain album?
I think it was amazing. You know, I became friends with Jonathan probably 2008-ish, sort of through my old friend Jenny Lewis of Rilo Kiley fame, great songwriter, and so she introduced us, and we just, you know, we've made music at different points casually for fun, but it was one of those things we always talked about, like what would be great to work on like a proper record. And I kind of I tried out a few different producers or like recording scenarios and you know, tested the water with a few ones, and Jonathan being one of them, and the experience with him was so sort of leaps and bounds above the other experiences, in the sense of just the way we communicated, it was very effortless. And of course, as you know, he's a phenomenal all-around musician, bass, drums, piano, incredible guitar player. So he's, you know, in that sense, he's just got a lot of tools in the toolbox. And then also, you know, he's like me, he tends to not, as we're recording, doesn't stress the small details, you know, it's more about spontaneity and about like keeping the ideas rolling, and sort of the idea that no idea is a bad idea, you know, just like, let's get this stuff down while it's happening fresh. And then once we got to sort of the final stages and took the stuff to Nashville and went into the mixing process, then, you know, then you have to make some decisions and kind of sculpt it into its final form. But it was just a real joy to work with him. You know, he's such a, you know, just a wonderful person.
He's a good soul.
Yeah, totally.
You kind of use your lyrics to find focus, because apparently you're not unlike me. You have a mind that is always thinking 10 or 15 thoughts at a time.
Absolutely, that's true. I am a bit, I feel like I spend a lot of my time with my head in the clouds a little bit, or just, you know, I always sort of explain my songwriting process as truly just kind of daydreaming and like being open to like letting your mind go to that those sort of fertile places. But in order to get there, you gotta be away from distractions and like let the mind wander. And then, you know, the sort of magic of it is when you can take that, you know, nebulous cloud of like random thoughts and images and then, you know, drill them down to like, you know, the diamond of the like couplet or whatever you're writing, you know, and that's like, that's the hope every time, you know. It doesn't, I still don't have much method, you know, there's not like a method to what I do. I to me, it's about being open for when those moments come and inspiration strikes. Like a lot of times I'll start my songs with a vocal melody, and then once I have that concrete, I can kind of spend, whether it's days or weeks or sometimes months, sort of singing the melody to myself, like quietly in my head and sort of filling in lines to the melody.
And so I'm going to assume that for you, singing in the shower, you can write that off on your taxes.
I can. My water bill should be paid for, right?
There we go. We just came up with a new thing to help all musicians. Singing in the shower is a form of work. I need to write off my water bill.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I'm going to tell my accountant immediately.
Friends in a caravan to witness the governor's ball. Sat by himself on a cool patch of grass.
You're going to be playing a show in Los Angeles at the Greek with, I hope, well, I'm sure that you feel like I do.
One of my songwriter heroes, for sure.
It has to be with John Prine and. How, as a guy from Omaha, did you ever think that there would be a day when you're standing, you know, peer to peer on a stage with a John Prine?
No, it's really, it's just, yeah, it's mind blowing. It's totally humbling, like to just share a stage. I mean, he's one of my all time favorite songwriters, and I think just one of the best lyricists that ever has ever lived, you know? So it's, it'll be really, really cool to, you know, get a ringside seat, hopefully, to check out his show for one, and I'm sure get a chance to say hello and all that. So, yeah, it's just a dream come true. I couldn't be more just excited about it.
Well, it's well deserved, and I know you're up to the task, and it'll be a joyous experience for all of us, as will the release of Upside Down Mountain. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you very soon, and sharing the spirit of this album throughout the day here at 88.5 KCSN. Connor Oberst joining us. Thanks again, Connor.
Thank you, Sky. Thanks so much for having me.